You're listening to the BBM Global Network with 25 years in broadcast audio and video production. Our passionate team creates content and marketing for the world of Internet talk radio. If you've got a passion, come join us at bbmglobalnetwork.com. The BBM Global Network, your voice is now heard.
Welcome to Courage to Overcome with your host, Cheryl Jennings. Each week, Cheryl will feature and discuss the many challenges of those living with disabilities, along with the various issues that are faced by their families that are caring for them. So now, please welcome the host of Courage to Overcome, Cheryl Jennings.
Welcome. This is Cheryl Jennings, your host with Courage to Overcome. And tonight we're looking at the first Monday night in December. We're getting closer and closer to Christmas. And I know for our kids, they're really counting down. And it's an exciting time for most people as they are getting ready, trimming trees, putting up lights and everything. But just in the last week or so, I have had the loss of a dear friend. Also, I have had several friends who have lost family members, and tragically, some were in the Gatlinburg fires that were not able to be rescued. And we've also been hearing on the news about other fires that are taking place in different parts, like in California, in that area, the warehouse, where there were so many people that were tragically lost. So losing people can happen at any time during the year, and it is important for us to realize that while we may be in a mood to celebrate and to be with family, that a lot of people are very sad during this time because it brings about so much heartache to remember the good times, know that some of their family members may not be with them now. And so I thought it would be really good for us to talk about this a little bit. And, you know, last week we had Kim on here talking about the loss of a son in a hunting accident. But this time I want to talk a little bit about the grief that we can experience and the loss, and especially when it has to do with caregivers and those that they're caring for. And to keep in mind that this will happen eventually to all of us, because that death is something that is actually going to happen to all of us. There's no getting away from it. And there are things that we can do that can prepare our minds to be able to handle the grief better than just not talking about it, skirting around the issue, not wanting to face the fact that it can happen. And it doesn't matter if you're young or old, if you're a baby or an old person that's been in a care center for many years, or exactly what the reason is. It is something that can happen to all of us. And if we've been close with family during the holidays throughout our lives, or have a lot of family traditions, I find it's even harder for families to cope with that loss, realizing that someone is missing. And I was reading a story a little bit about why do more people die at Christmas, and I wasn't sure if that was true or not, but it says there are a lot of risk for death, and one is high cholesterol, one's smoking, one's obesity, and one is Christmas. And yes, Christmas does bring about a greater chance of dying. It's either Christmas or the day after Christmas or New Year's Day more than any other single days of the year. And it's true for people who die of natural causes, according to the Centers for Disease Control. And that accounts for a lot of people that can die at this time. And so researchers have been looking for why does this happen. But I want to focus on the fact that since we're close to Christmas, I wanted to have an expert on grief and loss to be able to help us understand this struggle that we might have with grieving, and to find out what we can do that would be supportive of people who are going through the grieving process. I was being interviewed this morning by another media station, and the man that was interviewing me was asking me questions about how would you handle some of these things and when what to say, what not to say. And so I'm anxious to talk to our expert tonight to find out if she might say some of the same things that I would be able to say, and just find out, because she has studied grief and loss and has made this something that she's done a lot of work in. And her name is Dr. Michelle Petacolis. And I hope I pronounced your name right, but Dr. Michelle, welcome to our calls tonight.
Thank you, Cheryl. And yes, you pronounced my name just fine. Thank you so much.
I'm
looking forward to being on your program. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, I'm glad to have you. And I just want people to know that we do have someone who, and tell us what your expertise is exactly.
Well, I'm a grief and loss expert. I have a PhD in sociology and psychology, and I've been studying in the field of grief and loss, working in the field of grief and loss for over 17 years. I've led grief support groups for hospice. I've been doing my own practice. And also I created a three-part documentary film series on facing death and loss. And for many years, I taught workshops around those films.
Wow. Well, you're the right person to help us understand a little bit about this, and I am very glad that you're going to be able to be here and to answer some of the questions that people might have. And you asked me if this was the number that people could call in, and yes, they can call in. I'm not sure what happened at the beginning of our program. We had someone that seemed like they were not calling into the program. So if you have a question during our program tonight and you have some questions you would like to ask Dr. Michelle, our number is 855-856-1380. And yes, we do welcome calls. I would like to ask Dr. Michelle some things tonight, though, before we get started on that, and just to try to help narrow down a little bit about some of the things that she's going to help us with. And first, I'm going to ask her about what got her into, but we want to know, how does the grief work that she's done relevant to caregivers? Because we've really focused on courage to overcome, on people who are caring for other people. If it's caring for a child with special needs, or if it's caring for parents, caring for someone who has PTSD, or even people who become very depressed, sometimes it takes a lot of help from family members to take care of them because they're unable to care for themselves. But there are lots of reasons for people to be caregivers, and I've really tried to give some support to those who are caregivers because we take them for granted. And a lot of times caregivers have sacrificed their own needs, their own careers, the things they would have loved to have done in life, but it's because they loved a person enough that when the need arose, they were willing to drop what they had to do to be able to take on this task. But that doesn't mean that they don't have any grief, and it doesn't mean that they don't have any needs that need to be met. And so we want to offer some tips tonight. We want to show some of the ways that we can actually quit sabotaging our own ability to go through grief. And, you know, if you've had family members like I have who are maybe ill for many years and they lose a lot of their mind, their ability to think rationally, have Alzheimer's, dementia, or some form of that, you realize how difficult it is to care for that person and not to have grief taking place over a period of time while they're still alive and caring for them, because they see that person slowly slipping away from them. And so
Carol, that's exactly what you were asking, was how is my work relevant to caregivers? And that's exactly it, that when you're a caregiver, you are actually going through sequential losses, that you are experiencing loss throughout the period of time that you are a caregiver. You don't have to wait until somebody dies to be experiencing the grief of loss. So some of the things that you mentioned are exactly the sort of things that people are experiencing. First, there is the person who you're caring for. It could be a loss of capacity, or if they were born, maybe you had a child who's handicapped, then there's the loss of the dream of the perfect child. But if it's somebody who suddenly has an injury or they develop a chronic illness, then you have this gradual development of loss of capacity. And so the person who's losing, of course, they're experiencing a loss, but the caregiver is also experiencing the loss as they lose that person, you know, gradually over time. And then some of the other losses are if the person starts to lose their mental capacity, like through dementia, you're losing that person, you know, bit by bit, you're losing that person, the ability to communicate. And then if it's parents, so many of us end up taking care of our parents, our aging parents, and so we lose that relationship with our parents being the people that we go to for advice and for guidance and for support. Suddenly the role shifts, and so that's another loss. Sometimes
that is where we're going to be talking about, and we do need to stop just a moment to take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to let you just take off and go with this. And so we'll be right back after this break.
Dr. Rob Moyer is the director of the Ocean River Institute, and he is passionate about saving the ocean by helping dolphins suffering from nitrogen pollution. Nitrogen is a dangerous pollutant affecting our oceans, altering ocean ecosystems, and contributing to global warming. The Ocean River Institute provides opportunities to make a difference and encourages people to go the distance for savvy stewardship of a greater and bluer planet Earth. Partnered with organizations from Massachusetts to Florida, Alaska to the Caribbean, the Ocean River Institute's mission is to foster involvement in conservation and environmental monitoring by facilitating grassroots efforts at local and regional levels.
Hello, I'm Rob Moyer of the Ocean River Institute. Please visit our website at oceanriver.org. Sign up for free e-alerts. You may call us at 617-661-6647. Our email address is info@oceanriver.org. Become informed and then act with us. Thank you.
Joseph A. Moylan is the owner of Ion Health, which specializes in very unique medical devices. Ion Health offers biomats, alkalife, and frequency machines. Biomats are a far infrared and negative ion emitting FDA-approved medical device. With many different sizes available, you can place them on your bed, on a massage table, or on a seat in your car. It is an unobtrusive way to health. Alkalife machines are water ionizers that cleanse and raise the alkalinity of your tap water, making high alkaline water. Frequency machines utilize certain frequencies to kill viruses and bacteria. These devices are safe and effective. Coming from a health-conscious background and studying physiology at the Academy of Natural Health, Joseph A. Moylan has 15 years of experience in the health field and wants to help you live a healthy, long life. Visit www.ionhealthbiomats.weebly.com or call 765-520-2988. Don't let your health go astray. Get in touch today.
Welcome back, and I appreciate the interest in what we're talking about tonight. I'm so excited that we have Dr. Michelle with us. I do want to clarify, if you have a question or something, if you want to call in after about 20 minutes, right now we will not take calls for a few minutes so we can give Dr. Michelle a few minutes to tell us a little bit about this and help us to understand a little bit of the grieving process. And if you're calling and you want to just listen, you can go to TuneIn Radio to BBM Global Network, or you can go directly to bbmglobalnetwork.com, listen live, bbmglobalnetwork.com, listen live. Dr. Michelle, let me go back for just a moment and just ask you a little bit about the grief work that you're talking about when people are caring for another person, say it is a parent that they're caring for. And this mm-hmm. parent has gradually declined. And tell mm-hmm. us a little bit about the process and how we can make that easier for the person who is caring for a person who is losing their ability to communicate.
Right. Well, the first thing they have to realize is that they need to take care of themselves. I think that's one of the number one things that I would put out there to the caregiver. It's like when you're on the airplane and they say when the oxygen mask drops down, you put it on your face first. If the caregiver does not take care of themselves, then they cannot show up and they cannot really fully 100% be present and available for the other person. And yet we have been taught that when somebody is in need, that we have to throw everything in towards them. And in fact, the medical system is sort of set up too that way, is they keep you running, taking people to this appointment and that appointment. And the caregiver can really burn themselves out trying to do all the tasks. So the very first thing that I encourage caregivers to do is to take a moment to breathe. And I invite them to breathe before they go through any door, whether it's a car door or a house door or a bedroom door or a hospital, to make that a habit, to breathe and to check in and to see how they're feeling. That one little tip is going to make a huge difference, because there are all these emotions that come up around the gradual loss, say, of a parent or whoever. There are these losses, and it impacts the body. And when we don't attend to the body, there are all these things happening in the body, but we're ignoring it, and meanwhile, it can make us sick. It can rob us of our energy, and if we don't attend to it, we can actually make the wrong decisions because we're not running on all our cylinders, so to speak. Does that make sense so far, Cheryl?
Yes, and you know, it's amazing how you're saying this, because my health broke down caring for my son when he was young. And it was a lot of it is because at that time, he's 46, but at that time, we didn't understand a lot about cerebral palsy. So we didn't understand a lot about what would happen and how it would impact a parent's life. And most of the time, they told us simply put him away, forget you had him have a child, which was not an option. But nothing about me as a parent understanding how to take care of myself. And so years later, I still have health issues that I had a doctor a few years ago say, you don't know why you're here, do you? And I said, I thought I did. I have fibromyalgia. And she said, no, it's because you don't know how to take care of yourself. And I guess that's my passion of trying to help other people learn the things I did not know myself. And I told her I dedicated a chapter in my book to her, because that is the hardest thing to learn to do. So give us all the tips you can. And I love this about breathing before you go through each door, because I know people are telling me every day almost, Cheryl, you're doing too much. Slow down. Don't do so much. Take time for yourself. And I am so in a habit of running to care for people, it's hard for me to slow it down and to even know, how do I feel? And that's
right. And most of us don't know how we feel. We have never been taught how to listen to our bodies. And that's one of the things that I work with my clients, is learning how to focus inward and check your body. Do a body scan every time you do that to say, okay, how am I feeling? Am I feeling a headache? How's my throat feel? Do I feel jittery? Because the losses, the experiences that you're going through as you're caring for somebody, have a real physiological impact on your body. And I cannot emphasize that enough. There are chemicals that happen that get released through various endocrine systems that are literally preparing your body to survive. And the basic survival response is fight, flee, or freeze. I want you to remember that, fight, flee, or freeze. And think about not just yourself, but members of your family. How do they respond when there is somebody who needs to be taken care of? I just think of the example of aging parents and the siblings, and some of them are going to run away, and some of them are not going to be able to do anything, and some of them are going to get into arguments with everybody. And it's only the people who deal with their emotions that can fully show up and be present.
Wow, this is so important. And I want you to talk about that a little bit more. We do need to take another break, and I hate to have to interrupt a minute, but we will be right back. This is Courage to Overcome. You're listening to Cheryl Jennings, your host, and you're having your guest tonight is Dr. Michelle Petacolis, and we're so thankful to have her here.
Renaissance woman, trailblazer, maverick. Those are just some of the words to describe Tashandra Poulard, owner and CEO of House Virgo Entertainment, LLC, a woman minority veteran-owned entertainment company based in Washington, D.C. Ms. Poulard served 10 years honorably in the United States Navy and departed from active duty to pursue her dreams of becoming an entertainment mogul. House of Virgo Entertainment offers script writing, producing, directing, DJ services, editing, and more. They cater to businesses, corporations, college students, working professionals, aspiring artists and nonprofit organizations, and employ veterans of the armed forces. Tashandra Poulard is pioneering the way we view media and taking her brand global. Visit her at www.houseofvirgoentertainment.com or call 281-515-3740 and like her on Facebook at House of Virgo Entertainment, LLC.
Certified professional coach Pamela Reeves can help you with your relationships. Motivational and image coaching are just some of the ways she can help you enhance all aspects of your life. Her book, Is It Love or Merely a Sick Attachment?, helps readers clearly distinguish healthy, loving relationships from toxic ones. Ms. Reeves has put her words into action through Ray of Hope Kenya, an international initiative that provides outreach to victims of abusive relationships there with the goal of helping them rebuild their lives and the tools to avoid abuse. Ms. Reeves operates various business interests through her umbrella network, Nella LLC, and credits her success to her diverse work experience. Whatever your goals, whether striking a balance, reinventing your image, or simply lifting your lifestyle, Pamela Reeves will help you achieve them. Your life, your call. Dial 410-902-5715 or email Pamela at pamregeo1@verizon.net. She's also on the web at pamreeves.com and on Twitter at Pamela_Reeves.
Welcome back. This is Courage to Overcome, and tonight we're talking about grief and loss because the holidays have brought about the realization that many people are not as happy because they've lost someone either during the holidays this time or in the past that remind them of the happy times and the traditions that they've had in their family. And so we want to be able to say the right thing to people if they're going through grief, but we also want to avoid saying things that are going to make it harder. And one of the things I'd like to ask you, Dr. Michelle, is I've told you at the beginning, I have a family that's close to me, and she just lost members in a fire in Gatlinburg. They were unable to get out. And it was such devastating news. Yeah. And right behind that, I've had a friend that passed away and another friend who lost his father, and his funeral is tomorrow. So I know that the holidays do bring about, you know, extra stresses for families, and they don't always get to enjoy the celebration. So what are some things that you would say to someone if they've just lost a family member that would be the right thing to say? And give them some suggestions here.
I'd be happy to. The saying less is probably the best advice I can give. What you want to do is let them know that you are there to listen to them. And giving them a hug, giving them physical contact, and inviting them to speak to you is probably the best gift you can. Giving them words of advice is probably they're not going to be able to take it in, especially when it's a very recent loss. Most people after a recent loss, they're kind of in shock. So what they really need is just to know that you're there.
Right.
And that you're there for them. And don't ask them, call me if you need help, but actually make some suggestions or do something. Like most people after they've had a significant loss, they're so in shock that they can't really take care of things. So if you can step in and take care of walking the dog or bring food over or do laundry for them and suggest that you can do that, or maybe they need care of their garden, that's the best way you can help somebody, because usually they are just really at their wit's end.
Right. I appreciate you saying that. Less is always more. And I know that people mean well a lot of times when they say things, but words are not always the right thing to take place at that time. You know, the hug, like you said, means so much, and to just know somebody's thinking about them. Well, okay, let's go back for just a moment. You were talking about a caregiver who would be caring for a person and the different ways we might show up. Now, you mentioned that some of the family members might disappear, and I've seen that happen, especially if they feel like the parent maybe doesn't even know who they are anymore. They go, well, they're already gone to me. I'm not going to go back. Well, the parent is still alive. They still need to be cared for, but that just puts more responsibility on another sibling that has to do more. Plus, they don't even have that one to deal to help them.
Well, and there are ways to work around that. So I'm going to give you some suggestions. But first, understand this is what anybody who is in a family constellation and is dealing with siblings that aren't showing up is to understand that we all respond to loss in different ways. And that those three basic things, fight, flee, or freeze, are kind of, they're wired into our body because we experience loss as a threat to our survival. And it's only when we can get over, allow the feelings out, that we can start to act with more emotional intelligence. That's that nice word, emotional intelligence, where you can get, I mean, because we're capable of that. It's just that we haven't been taught how to do that. So when you are the primary caregiver and you have siblings or family members who are not showing up, it's often better to give them a task that they are capable of doing. And then they can feel part of the team, and that can help to bring them in more. So maybe you have a family member who simply cannot go to the nursing home, or they cannot help with cleaning up the bed sheets. They just are not capable of that. So you give them some other task, like doing research on the internet, or managing the money, or contributing money. There are many, many different ways that family members can show up. And what if you're the one who's the primary caregiver, you want to get all the help you can. Don't waste any time being angry at your family members, because that's not going to get you the help you need.
Right. Well, and I'm very fortunate in our family. We're caring for my mom, who is almost 97 and has some dementia. But we have several siblings, and we're spread out all over the country, but we all try to do as much as we can, and especially to support the one who lives right there and to understand that mother is going to really look forward to all of us coming, but it doesn't mean that we think that we don't understand the greatest gift of all is right there in town. You know, we really treasure that sister and her husband. But I see that a lot of families don't understand how to do these things. And sometimes one will start siding with a parent who may think somebody's out to get them. They're trying to steal from them. They, you know, they have things missing, and they may start tangling with the others. What is a way to deal with some of that? Especially if the parent is maybe having hallucinations or they're paranoid because of some Alzheimer's or dementia.
Well, if you are the one who is being attacked, you need to step back, understand that this is the dementia speaking, and not take it personally. But in order to do that, you have to deal with your own feelings. So that's first and foremost. It's always the first thing I say with everybody is you have to release the feelings first. You can't just act from that mental place without addressing the feelings, because they'll come up and they'll, you know, sabotage you. Those feelings, they'll just burst out suddenly because you aren't dealing with it. And a lot of times these feelings are rooted in family dynamics that go all the way back to childhood. So you have sibling rivalry, who was loved the most, whether or not your parent ever gave you attention, and all this stuff comes up. So you have to deal with your feelings. You have to acknowledge them. You have to allow yourself to, you know, your parent has just accused you. Here you have been trying to show up and help out, and you've just been accused of stealing their money. You may need to go out into your car and just cry a little bit, you know, just let that energy release.
And I know that that is probably absolutely true for the one that has to take the brunt of that. We're going to need to take another break. And I just want to say to people, if you're interested in getting a chance to listen to the whole conversation tonight, you can go to bbmglobalnetwork.com And after the program is put back on the website, it will be on our page, Courage to Overcome. But for right now, you can go and just listen live. We are going to be back in just a moment, and we have Dr. Michelle with us, and I'm so looking forward to hearing more of what she has to say. We'll be right back.
America is out of control. Today's capitalism and the approach to money is in fact a symptom of a more widespread pattern of excessive behavior. In his book, The Culture of Excess, How America Lost Self-Control and Why We Need to Redefine Success, clinical psychologist Dr. Jay Slosar portrays an America where excess fuels the drive to succeed. Dr. Slosar examines the cultural factors that lead to excess ranging from obesity to fraud to pervasive budget deficits. His book examines the powerful economic and social factors and their impact on our psychological well-being. Dr. Slosar explores the psychological impact of increasing narcissism, perfectionism, self-destruction, and our identity confusion. He offers recommendations for helping Generation Me become Generation We. Those who resist Slosar's message will want to avoid his discussion of regulation and his recent message that at this point, democracy must be more important than today's capitalism. Get his book now online or by visiting thecultureofexcess.com.
For over 50 years, Evelyn Stapula has been a loving advocate for people with disabilities throughout the state of Pennsylvania. President and founder of Big Heart Bridges, her organization actively campaigns for legislation and support of civil liberties that meet the needs of disabled individuals with housing, transportation, and employment. Ms. Stapula has joined forces with a variety of esteemed organizations that advocate for the disabled. She serves on the board of the United Cerebral Palsy of Pittsburgh and the Governor's Cabinet and Advisory Committee for People with Disabilities, and she is a consultant for the Pennsylvania Governor's Conference for Women. Her many efforts have led to the implementation of a transportation program for the disabled with the Access Paratransit System of Allegheny County. Evelyn Stapula strives daily to serve the interests of the disabled, to protect their freedoms, and enable them to live normal public lifestyles. To learn more, please call 412-491-2605 or email Evelyn at ers92645@verizon.net.
This evening, we're talking about grief and loss, and I have Dr. Michelle on here, and she has just given so many great tips and pointers and how to help people deal with grief and loss during this time, during the holidays. And I just would like to ask you, I know that you have done a lot of work in this, and you mentioned at the beginning that you'd done a video. How can people see the video that you have done?
Well, there people can purchase the videos. I recently had I have three videos. One's on facing death, one's on caregiving, and one's on grieving. And they're about 30 minutes long, and you can purchase them. And I think they're about $29.95 for the DVD. I don't have anything set up for streaming right now. I just recently, in the beginning of November, for a period of about a week, streamed The Heart of Grieving, which is the third film. But get on my email list, and you'll find out when I'm doing events like that. And
okay.
I may
go
try that
and,
again sometime.
Okay, go ahead and give your website and how people can get in touch with you.
Okay, so the website is www.secretsoflifeanddeath.com, and secretsoflifeanddeath.com. It's all spelled out, and there are no spaces, and secrets is plural.
Okay.
So that's the website. And then there's a contact form that you can fill out under contact if you want to reach me that way. And,
okay.
And then if you want, I have I have a special for people who are listeners that they can go to griefessentials.com and sign up to download my mini book on handling grief. And it comes with 7 weeks of follow-up emails. Now, this is specific for grief, but the suggestions in here are really valuable for anybody for any kind of grief. It's going to work.
Okay, and so sometimes this grief essentials.
Yes, plural, griefessentials.com. It's one word, just words, no spaces, griefessentials.com. And people can sign up there, and they can right away download the little mini book, the mini ebook that has very, very valuable advice, and then it comes with follow-up emails that go into greater detail about each of them.
Oh, that's great. I appreciate you doing that. It's so nice to have a guest that wants to offer something.
I want to give you one. Pardon?
Okay. I said it's nice to have a guest who wants to offer the listeners a special prize just for listening.
Yeah, and I wanted to offer something else, which I had not thought about until just before I came on the show, so I did not set it up. But if you send me an email that say you were listening on the show, I will send you a little sheet that talks about the caregiver's journey and, I think it's 8 tips, strategies for staying present around caregiving. And it's different from the mini book. So, and it's just a one-page sheet, but it's really important, and I might go through some of those tonight if we have time.
Okay, that sounds great. Well, if you could, I know you've got a whole basket full of tips to offer, but what is the best tip that you could offer a caregiver?
Well, as I already said before, the best tip is to breathe because you need to pay attention to yourself. You always need to take care of yourself first. Breathe that oxygen before you give the oxygen mask to somebody else. And it's really hard because when we're dealing with somebody who is, say, dying or is disabled, they tend to be the star. And the caregiver tends to be like the supporting actor or actress, and they don't get top billing. But they really should because they are the difference between making that person surviving or not. So if you don't take care of yourself, you might die before the person does.
And we've seen that happen too.
And we've seen that happen. Yes, it's happened a lot.
Right.
So, so that's the biggest thing is take care of yourself. And I'm going to throw another one in: respect your limits.
Oh wow! Okay, that's a big one.
So yeah, and so a lot of these things go both ways. You have to respect your limits, and you have to respect the limits of the person you're caring for. What are they capable of? They may not be able to show up, or respect the limits of the people who you want to help you out. And that's a really hard one to have that compassion for everybody and to see that people are not basically bad. Everybody is coming to the table with their histories and their confusion and their pain and their wounds.
Oh, wow. That's a lot. And that's so right. And like I said, everybody grieves in a different way. And I have a young couple that I was with a lot during the time they had their little baby, and they knew she would only be with them a short time. And afterwards, I was talking to them a few months ago, and I asked them, what was so hard? What was the hardest part? Or could they describe some of it? And he just mentioned to me, he said, one of the hardest things was I was going to go home and how she would expect me to grieve like she was. And he said, I found it hard to go home at times because he didn't grieve the same way, but his grief was really overwhelming too. He just had to go ahead and perform a job. He was a coach and he had a duty to perform, and he couldn't just stay home and just watch for the time that things were going to happen. And so it is different. And that was one of the things I tried to help her understand too, is that he was grieving. It was just different.
Yeah,
Men and women, and gender differences. We have a lot of things that we're different about, even as the same gender. We don't all grieve the same way.
Yes, that's right.
That's right. So those are things that help us to understand a little bit about what might be taking place that you don't even know before Christmas comes, if somebody in your family might even be in an accident or something. So these are helpful because it's going to happen to all of us at one time or another. We're going to need to take one more break. And when we come back, I'm going to let you tell us a little bit about the difference in surviving and thriving. And so we will be coming back in a moment. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Petacolas, and I'm Cheryl Jennings, your host each week on Courage to Overcome. And I hope that you find these programs give you courage and hope, and that you can see that with humility, we try to find ways to offer you some glimpse of hope and maybe some humor in things that might not seem very humorous, but to try to help you look at the lighter side a little bit. But we will be back in just a moment. You're listening to Courage to Overcome.
Intergenerational programming is uniting America due to the tireless efforts of Dr. Ramona Frischman. Retired from the Miami-Dade County Public School System, Dr. Frischman continues to develop intergenerational learning programs aimed to improve the lives of children, young adults, and seniors through unique strategies and public policy in order to establish a mutually supportive agenda. She views intergenerational programs as a resource for policymakers and the general public on economic, social, and personal initiatives that govern our society. Her work bridges the generational gap, providing many individuals the opportunity to explore areas of common ground and celebrate each other's diversity. Contact Ramona Frischman at ramonalong@aol.com or visit www.gu.org to learn more about intergenerational programming. Abuse happens every moment of every day. According to national statistics in the United States, every 2 minutes, someone is sexually assaulted, and every 10 minutes, a report of child abuse is made. Those currently struggling with abuse, or if you know someone who has been the victim of abuse, you are not alone. Whether physical, mental, emotional, or sexual, know there is hope, there is help, there is healing. Author Tammy Hall has written a book from her own account of abuse called Journey of Courage that can guide you through your own personal journey of healing. Stop struggling through life. It's your story. It's your healing. And it can begin with the first turn of the page. Visit www.journeyofcourage.com to begin your path to becoming the person you were ultimately created to be. Healed, hopeful, happy.
Welcome back from our little break. And if you have a question or a comment that you'd like to make and would like to call in, I invite you to give us a call. It's 855-856-1380, and we would love to have your call. And I just mentioned to them that my book is maybe due out by the end of the week. I'm excited. It's getting ready to go to print, and it's called It Takes Courage to Be a Caregiver. And I have been so honored to have people on this show that have given me so much encouragement and so many ideas about how to help other people. And this whole show has been about, what did you learn when you go through something, if it was caring for someone with autism and like tonight going through grief, or if it's with the shows that we had about PTSD or autism, cerebral palsy, you name it. We've had so many different kinds of shows, but to try to take what people have learned and to be able to say, what did you learn somebody else needs to know? Because whenever we go through things in life that are challenges for us, we learn something, and it takes a lot of work to get some of the knowledge that we get. It takes a lot of research, or it takes a lot of investigation, or interviewing people. And so whatever we go through, it's always great to turn around and to share that information with other people coming along who are going to be searching for the same questions, the same answers that you have found. So that's part of what I love about doing this show, is how much I've been able to learn from other people. Now, we're going to go back and let Dr. Michelle tell us anything she wants to, and help us understand what we need to as caregivers and what we can do that would make the difference in grieving to help ourselves and being able to go ahead and take care of ourselves at the same time. I love the thing that you told us to breathe through every doorway. That's great.
Oh, thank you, Cheryl. So you had said,
what else do you have?
You wanted me to talk about how to, pardon? You wanted me to talk about how to get from surviving to thriving.
Right.
And,
right. Okay.
Yeah, so that's a mind shift. We have to, in order to get to that place, we have to change our story about what we're doing. And this is big. This is not a small task. Sometimes we come into this whole responsibility of caregiving because we feel we have to, or we're afraid that people will judge us if we don't do it, or we don't feel we have any choice. And as long as we see ourselves somewhat as a victim, it's going to color the way in which we experience that caregiving process. So I invite people who are taking care of somebody else to think about it, if they can, as a spiritual Olympic challenge. That is, there is so much that you can gain and learn about yourself and about other people and about your life and your purpose when you take that perspective of everything that shows up is an opportunity for learning about yourself. One of the people that I interviewed in my second film said that he knew of no other practice, because he's one of these Zen Buddhists, they knew of no other practice that so reveals himself to himself as accompanying somebody who is going through health challenges or is dying. And so that's what, if you can take in that moment of breathing, remember what it is here, why you're doing this. Come with a different reason than that you should be doing it. Find that love, find that connection of why you're doing it. If there's no love, then maybe it's an opportunity for healing wounds, old wounds. But find something in that journey that you find worthwhile, and that's what's going to see you through the journey.
Oh, that's great.
Can you resonate with that? Yeah.
Absolutely. I think that we're on the same page with that, because I see that what I have gone through has just opened the doors for loving more people. There are so many people that have come into my life because of our son, and I wouldn't have known them otherwise. Plus, I think that it's made everyone in our family more aware of other people and their needs. And I am grateful for that. I see that as a way to be blessed. And I've watched a grandfather be ill for the last 15, 16 years of his life, and the impact that he still had on people. When my dad went in a coma from a heart surgery, he was in a coma 7 weeks. And then when he came out, there was a lot of damage. And I kept thinking, I wonder why he's living. I wonder what his purpose is.
Yeah.
You know. And when I would watch and see some of the things that he did that impacted others' lives, I thought, you know, that's the purpose right there. We don't know why we're here sometimes. We don't know what our real purpose is, and God has a plan for us. And we just have to open ourselves up to allow these things to happen and to be grateful for the time we have, because a lot of people don't have very much time on this earth. And I look at children that are on these commercials that are disabled in many ways, and yet they have the happiest. And that's what I've always seen about so many children, that people would say, oh, put them away, forget about. No, they're the ones that bring the joy to the families. You know, a Down syndrome child, you just look at them, they are always happy, and they bring the
joy.
Yeah, absolutely. So I love that you're sharing that. And I hope that people can look at it. That's such a good way of saying it, though, to see that we're not victims. This is a choice that we're getting to take care of someone else and to be that special person in their life. The Spiritual Olympic Challenge. I love this. This is so good. Well, we are going to take one more break. And when we come back, we will just have some parting thoughts and some ways that you can reach out to us after the show. So we'll be right back in just a moment.
Horses, mystical, present, past and future, all in one. Wild, free, domestic, and healing for everyone. Betty Hames knows this and has put her horses to good use with Nature Connect Equine Coaching. Her mission is to help people affected by the loss of hope and trust in their lives and to rediscover the wonders of nature through nature-connected learning so they can rebuild their lives and live peacefully with newfound hope, trust, and joy. Betty Hames is also a certified elite life coach, a Washington State certified counselor, and chemical dependency professional. She is passionate about partnering nature with healing, and through horses, she sees amazing results and transformation in lives that might have otherwise been lost. Call 509-830-9225 and visit her at hameslifecoaching.com. Hold your horses. You're in for the ride of your life.
Introducing BetterHomeAndGarden.com. That's www.BetterHomeAndGarden.com with just the letter N in Better Home and Garden. BetterHomeAndGarden.com offers you the highest quality products on the market that are environmentally safe and effective, and to make them available to you at the lowest possible prices. BetterHomeAndGarden.com understands that kind of creativity and do-it-yourself attitude. Thus, we developed our website, BetterHomeAndGarden.com. BetterHomeAndGarden.com offers you the following products right online. Bath, bedding, collectibles, craft, sewing and hobby, food and beverage, furniture, home decor, kitchen and dining, lamps and lighting, large appliances, musical instruments, outdoor cooking, patio items, pet supplies, plant and garden, rug and floor coverings, small appliances, travel and luggage, and so much more. Better Home and Garden is an online retailer offering a wide variety of high-quality brand-name merchandise at discount prices. Our service is personal and we aim to please. Visit us at www.betterhomeandgarden.com. Make your home your own.
We have had the most wonderful conversation tonight with Dr. Michelle Petacolis, and she has just been amazing in helping us understand how we can be able to care for other people and to see the benefits, the blessings that we have from being those caregivers, but to understand how they can have grief that others don't understand. And I would love for you just to tell us one more time how people can reach you and give them your website and about your videos.
Okay, so the website is www.secretsoflifeanddeath.com. That's secrets is plural, not one secret, secrets. And there they can find out about all the work that I do, and they can also access, if they want to purchase one of my films, make sure you go to the home use only part of the film, because I also sell to the university community, and it's quite a bit more expensive. And okay. Then in addition, if you want to get my my mini book on handling grief, it's called, you can go to griefessentials.com and fill out your email, and you will get not only the little mini book, but you will get 7 weeks, not every day, but 7 weeks of follow-up emails that will dial that the tips in more specifically. And after you, if you want to, you can send me an email either through the contacts, or if you go ahead and you sign up for this, you can just reply to one of the emails and tell me that you are on this call and you want the caregiver tip sheet. I will send that to you too. I'm sorry I didn't get that set up ahead of time.
Oh, but this is wonderful, because people can do that. And also, I just want to mention that if somebody is listening that would love to get in touch with you, Dr. Michelle, they can go on the webpage on bbmglobalnetwork.com/courage-to-overcome. And this recording will be up in about 48 hours. And you can listen to it over and over, and you can also just send a little note to me, and I can forward it over to Dr. Michelle. We love to hear from people to know what you like about the program. We love to know that you feel like would be beneficial in presenting some more programs. And I'm very thankful for having Dr. Michelle on here tonight. She's been amazing. She's given us so much to think about. I wish I had known you about 45 years ago in my life. It would have helped me a whole lot to understand some of these things that I didn't understand as a young mom. But one of the things I love to do is to help young mothers who may have a child or someone they're caring for to understand that you as a mother have so much more wisdom in you than you realize, and that you have more courage than you think you do. And don't let anyone, not even a professional doctor, tell you that you don't understand something or you don't know something. That was said to me over and over and over as a young mother until it eroded a lot of my ability to feel like I knew anything. And I just want to tell you that as mothers, you understand your child, and you have so much that God has given you in being able to nurture and take care of that child and to understand what their needs are. But you must be bold in getting out there and asking the questions, because no one will give you answers for questions you don't ask. That's just not the way it works. And if you don't understand something there, go ask a question, like to Dr. Michelle. Or write us and say, you know, these are things I'm looking for, and we'll try to help you search for it. At least we've got the internet, and I'm so grateful for that. If you would like to be in touch with me, my name is Cheryl Jennings. It's Jennings like a cotton gin, G-I-N-N-I-N-G-S. If you go to bbmglobalnetwork.com/courage-2-overcome. I have a page there. You can get in touch with me, or if you just want to reach out and send me a message through my website, it's www.courage2overcome.club, and you can get a PDF on there. If you just want the PDF to find out what are the top 10 issues that families say they face when they are caregiving. And I would love for you to have that. That's where I will be posting some of the programs that I've had and some of the interviews. So we will look forward to getting to be with you next week. I do appreciate you taking time to listen to us on Monday nights, and look forward to meeting with you again next week. Thank you again, Dr. Michelle.
Thank you for having me, Cheryl.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to Courage to Overcome with your host, Cheryl Jennings. Be it Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, or autism, listen each week for an informative look into the lives of those challenged by these and other disabilities today on the next episode of Cheryl Jennings' Courage to Overcome.
You've been listening to the BBM Global Network. The ideas, views, and opinions of this broadcast are those of the participants of the program and are not necessarily the ideas, views, and opinions of the BBM Global Network Company.